So let's review what we discussed last session. What verses we covered, like from 9, yeah, okay, 9 onwards. Let's briefly review what we, some of the points, like we're talking about, like again, conditioning of the different modes, and then Krishna is talking about death, right, in 3 different modes. Yeah, so this competition, verse number 10, he talks about competition between the modes, goodness, passion, and goodness, they're always competing for predominance. Whenever something predominates, then other thing subsides. Any points you can remember, Mataji? Sau Prabhu, Mataji.
So, 9, it's a kind of summary of all the 3 different modes. Mm. So the people in goodness, they are happy. Okay, so because they are happy, they don't want to, you know, cultivate more
spirituality.
And people in passion mode, you know, they are after the fruity they feel. And those in ignorance, their knowledge is covered.
So they don't hear the super soul. Okay. So because of, so even if we are bound by any of these modes, they cannot be inclined for spirituality, basically, no, if we are conditioned too much. That's why we have to get out of these 3 modes, transcend the modes. That's what we are going to cover today's session. Okay, text number 10. Yeah, that's where the competition between the 3 modes always. So we can notice ourselves within the day, right? Sometime there's some prominent mode. But as towards the end of the day, you know, mode of ignorance will start becoming more and more prominent. Okay, text number 11. Yeah. So all gates of the body are eliminated by knowledge, then it's like it's a manifestation mode of goodness. So essentially a person mode of goodness knows what's the right thing to hear, what's the right thing to see. No, there is no confusion for him. Okay, text number 12. Again, it's for passion. No, how does it manifest? The symptoms of passion. It has great attachment to fruitive activity, uncontrollable hankering and lamentation. Hankering and desires. So when we feel obsessed with something, you know, and sometimes we try and we don't get it, still we feel very much absorbed in, you know, I have to get it, then we can imagine, we can understand that it's more of passion. You know, we are intensely hankering for that. Like that. Okay. And text number 13 talks about again mode of ignorance, more details of each of the modes, inertia, darkness and madness, illusion, manifested. Yeah. 14. Yeah, it's about death in 3 modes now. So when we die in mode of goodness, what happens? Higher planets. And from there, if we are like, you know, in the pure, the Brahma is pure, if we reach the Brahmaloka and when we die, we can actually directly go to spiritual world. Yeah, okay, then text number 15. Mode of passion. They take birth in? Earthly planets. Earthly planets.
Mode of ignorance
in animal kingdom. So that's one. And Prabhupada says, that's why in we should not take risk, you know, we may go down actually. And then in that case, we have to do evolutionarily, we have to come back to human life. So we should not take risk of losing human life.
So, Tadi, what about the lower planets?
Who will go there?
People who die in ignorance, they should go to lower planets.
Ignorance, yes.
Yeah. But
birth in the animal kingdom also, it means also lower planets actually. So, I think in the purport he might have mentioned, or let's see. Yeah, it's not there, but also could be that actually you may go to the lower planets. Like in the lower planets also they are kind of human forms. Maybe not. I'm not sure.
But
at least there is Ananta.
Pitruloka
is down actually, yeah.
Which is not supposed to be bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sure. Kind of like a higher planet, but it's lower.
Right.
Situated lower. Yeah, so I don't know whether, I'm not sure whether lower planets, what is the form of the living entities. At least I know that one planet, they're all snakes. And then some lower planets like that. So, yeah, animal kingdom means it could be animals in the lower planets as well. It need not be earthly planet. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so again, 16 is summary. Result of pious action is pure, mode of goodness. Okay, now action. Action in three modes. So something is done in the mode of goodness, pure. Something done mode of passion results in misery, both for the recipient as well as the person who is doing it. Mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Action in three modes. So now 2017 onwards we'll cover today. Actually this is just 10 verses, hopefully we'll cover today. Finish the chapter, let's see. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramada moho tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness and illusion. So again, it's a summary of all the three verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's summarizing the three verses. So we'll see, Prabhupada talks about Krishna consciousness, how it can actually solve this, help elevate people to Krishna, mode of goodness. So first few lines, present civilization.
It's not very congenial to the living entities. Krishna consciousness is recommended. Through Krishna consciousness, society will develop the mode of goodness. When the mode of goodness is developed, people will see things as they are. In the mode of ignorance, people are just like animals and cannot see things clearly.
Further down, Prabhupada, so because of this mode of ignorance, Prabhupada is saying, he gives an example, people kill animals without knowing that actually animal also can come, will come back and kill us. So that's why, you know, people don't have knowledge. So further on, Prabhupada says to stop this irresponsibility.
To stop this irresponsibility, education for developing the mode of goodness of the people in general must be there. When they are actually educated in the mode of goodness, they will become sober in full knowledge of things as they are. Then people will be happy and prosperous. Even if the majority of the people aren't happy and prosperous, if a certain percentage of population develops Krishna consciousness and becomes situated in a mode of goodness, then there is the possibility for peace and prosperity all over the world.
We can pause there, Prabhupada. So, actually that's what Prabhupada said. Krishna consciousness is actually meant for everyone. Anybody can take it up. But Prabhupada knew that, you know, diamond cannot be purchased by everybody. Nobody can afford. So Prabhupada said, actually, at least the prime cream of the society, if they take up Krishna consciousness, they will lead rest of the people. So Prabhupada said, don't be surprised if people leave. Be surprised if people stay. Because many people cannot sustain the whole, that amount of, you know, so many years of austerities, devotion and, you know, focusing on Krishna. Somewhere or the other, Maya is so strong and the material desires creep up and we fall down. So he said, don't be surprised if people leave. Be surprised if people stay. Somebody staying means there's something, you know, really is getting higher taste and, you know, we should get some secrets from that person. Not like person who is leaving and say, you know, why are you leaving? You know, what is the problem with the society? You don't ask that person. Yeah. So, Prabhupada, another secret he said is that you know that this process works. There is a, you know, you can see proof. You can easily see that this process works because you can always see there is a person more advanced than you. So, how much ever you advance, you can always see somebody more advanced than you. That means there's a level higher than that which you can achieve. So, by that you keep going, always you find somebody more higher. That means this process is working. It's taking person from here to there. So, another point he said. Okay, further down, he says, if one wants happiness at all,
this money will not help him. He has to elevate himself to the mode of goodness by practicing Krishna consciousness. When one is engaged in the mode of passion, not only is he mentally unhappy, but his profession and occupation are also very troublesome. He has to devise so many plans and schemes to acquire enough money to maintain the status quo. This is all miserable. In the mode of ignorance, people become mad. Being distressed by the circumstances, they take shelter of intoxication and thus they sink into further ignorance. Their future in life is very dark. Mm.
Yes, we can identify with ourselves with this, right? The mode of passion especially, you know. Profession, occupation become troublesome. And so many schemes to acquire enough money, maintain the status quo. It's typically, you know, that's what we do always. Generally, you know, people, that's what we did. So Prabhupada said minimally, the Krishna conscious society is minimally bringing people to mode of goodness, he said. At least minimally, you know, we are elevating people to mode of goodness. Beyond that, you know, people can go to beyond mode. At least that way, at least they can be happy here. Otherwise, passion, you know, they are very, very troubled. So much hankering, they cannot satisfy their desires, so much frustration. And because of that, they take it on others and whole, you know, because they are so disturbed, they disturb others. But otherwise, if you come to mode of goodness, at least you are peaceful. Environment, if somebody is agitated, you don't get jump into it. You are not too easily provoked. So you can be peaceful, happy. Yeah.
This mode of passion, whatever may be the mode, if we are using that in the service to Krishna, that means okay, right? Like mode of passion is like to create or to bring or something new things. Even though we are in mode of passion and if we are using that passion
propensity,
service of Krishna,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we are all doing. We are dovetailing our desires and inclination in service of Krishna. So still our bhakti is contaminated, as you said, you know. It's not like we are doing pure bhakti. We are doing bhakti in mode of passion only, mostly. You know, still probably doing some service and expecting something from Krishna also, like fruitive. You know, okay, yeah, something, you know, tangibly or something subtly, you know, oh, give me at least peace. Or we may say, oh, give me at least, you know, maybe job or something. We may be asking so many things. So it's all fruitive, mode of passion. But that's, we don't have any other option. That's the only solution the acharyas are giving us. Whatever the modes we are constituted, just go with that and do your best to offer yourself to the Lord. Then the modes gets purified gradually and we'll come to the mode of goodness and then beyond it, actually. So that's what we are going to lead to, actually. Krishna is going to talk about how to transcend these modes. He's going to give us a key to in this today's section. Okay. ऊर्ध्वं गच्छन्ति सत्त्वस्था मध्ये तिष्ठन्ति राजसा जङ्गन्यगुण्यवृत्तिस्था अधो गच्छन्ति तामसा. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the more abominable mode of ignorance go down to hellish worlds. Yeah, so see your point. So, Prabhu, your point came. So, same thing again, Krishna is summarizing here. Mode of goodness, they go to heavenly planets. Passion, they remain in earthly planets. So, all of us mostly are passion. And ignorance means go to hellish planets next time. So, the results. We can see the last paragraph. So, Prabhupada describes all these again. Heavenly planets, and Prabhupada tells that we cannot go to heavenly planets by staircase, like how Ravana tried. You need to have the qualification, the piety to go there. So for that, minimally you have to be qualified so much more and more in mode of goodness, that much you go that much higher planet next life. So passion means you at the best you will become a king or a maybe minister or a big CEO in this earthly planet still, but you know it doesn't get you beyond that. Ignorance means it may even go below the, you know, lower planets. So last paragraph will read, there is an opportunity
for many modes of ignorance and passion to be elevated to the mode of goodness, and that system is called Krishna consciousness. But one who does not take advantage of this opportunity will certainly continue to the lower planets.
So imagine, so if we have this knowledge, if we don't have take up Krishna consciousness, that means we are by default pulled by the modes and take up the body according to the modes. We don't have any choice, actually. We are forced. You know, basically Krishna also kind of incarnates. Incarnates means takes a body, right? Incarnate means in a body, carnation. Krishna also kind of takes body and we also takes a body. So somebody may say, oh, what's the difference? The difference is we are forced to take bodies. Krishna chooses to take bodies. Right? We don't have a choice. You cannot say, oh, now I'll decide next time, next life I'll go to Indraloka, next life I'll, you know, become a hog. We cannot even do anything, choose actually. Completely helpless. So, but then the option, the optimistic point is that Krishna consciousness is giving that key. Now, how to kind of elevate ourselves from the influence of the modes. So, that's a very, very wonderful solution we are getting. So let's read next verse, text number 19. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drishtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param vetti madbhavam suadi gacchati. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work, then these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So this actually is similar things we have been discussing. So what he is saying is, Krishna, that in all activities one sees that actually modes are only acting. And he also sees that the Lord is, even though the Lord is situated within our body, he sees the Lord is transcendental to the modes. Then he also attains the same spiritual nature as the Lord. Because basically he doesn't see that he is a doer. So can anybody reflect on a few, earlier we discussed two verses which is the same point we have been repeating. Okay, maybe you don't remember. 3.27, that verse we also memorized it. Prakrite kriyamana, that verse says that, you know, that ahankara vimudatma, influenced by false ego, they think that he is a doer, but actually it's carried out by three modes of material nature. Right, that's one verse, 3.27. In 13th chapter also we encountered similar verse, 13.30. So if you read the translation, it says that
one who can see that all activities are performed by the body which is created of material nature and sees that itself does nothing actually sees.
It's the same thing, right? So he sees that actually it's performed by body or material nature, but soul is not really doing anything, it's aloof. That means he's actual seer. So same thing is repeating here. The one who sees that actually activities are done by three modes, but performer is not really doing anything. That means he's not the only doer. He's part of the doer, but he's not only doer. And at the same time, he knows the Supreme Lord to be transcendental. He also attains the same nature. So then here in this purport, Prabhupada talks about importance of hearing from spiritual master. You know, to get this knowledge, because we need to hear from somebody who is beyond the modes, right? To elevate us above the modes. So further down, like by the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, little bit, 5-6 lines.
By the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes, but when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer or different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body, conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of the bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the 7th chapter that one who has surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of the material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of the material nature gradually ceases. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the 7th chapter that one who has surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. This point is repeated twice.
Oh, India, is it? Or you are reading twice?
It's an old version. I was wondering why you are rereading.
Oh, two times I repeated there. Okay. So again, you know, here it's specifically focusing on how hearing from spiritual master, we get to know exactly where we are situated. Otherwise we think, you know, I'm doing good, or rather, you know, I'm perfect, my life is perfect, everything is perfect. We don't even know what mistake we are making. Or the one time Guru Maharaj was telling, if you were really so good at making right decisions, or rather, you know, if you are so good at making decisions and choices, everything, then we would not be where we are right now. You know, messed up in material world and trying to struggle to get enjoyment and all those things. So the very fact that we are here now entrapped shows that, you know, we don't have the capacity to make right decisions.
Mataji, there is a question. So this sentence, he is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body conducted by some particular mode of material nature. So So is that the escape route? It's like, you know, I want to keep eating hot food or spicy food, or I want to keep drinking or whatever, right? So, like, in South...
Oh, so you're saying, oh, I'm forced to do, I'm not...
No, Mataji, no, this is not a joke either. So, we were just talking about it, right? In the car, we were talking. So, he has a friend who's addicted to gambling, right? So, he knows it's wrong. He tries to not go there. But somehow or the other, he ends up there, right? Like, you know, coffee, no matter what I do, then the headache starts pounding. And then, finally, only when I take it, it all goes fine. By God's grace, Krishna's grace, and, you know, your prayers, it went out. But, you know, it's not easy. It's like, it just drags you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
It just fall. It's free fall. So, that's why I'm asking, what is Srila Prabhupada trying to say here?
He's saying how we are helpless. He's not telling that, use that an excuse to justify and become more, fall, mold down. What he's saying is, you are so helpless, you cannot get out on your own. So you need help. That's why his whole purport is focusing on spiritual master.
But I think it should help us understand why other people are acting that way.
Exactly.
Right? Against us or whatever.
So we can just understand, it's just, very good point. I will quote or rather narrate an incident which talks about that particular point. I think we mentioned earlier also. Yeah, so that way we can see ourselves also, when sometimes we act, I don't intend to do this, and somehow, you know, you act weirdly. Then you feel, you know, who is this acting? It's not me, some demon inside me is acting or something like that, right? Sometimes kids also think, you know, this is not my usual mom, something happened to her now. So this, we are forced by the modes, like, you know, kids cannot understand that, but at least we can see others, adults behaving like that, and we feel, you know, everybody is helpless instruments, the puppets in the hands of the modes. No, we can give a benefit of doubt, and, you know, don't take it personally to the, basically they say, right, hate the sinner, not the sin. Oh, sorry, hate the sin, but not the sinner. So like that, you know, if we don't like a certain person's behavior, give a benefit of doubt, it's, you know, they had a bad mood or, you know, something like that, something is bothering them, but not as a person, you know, hate that person. Yeah, an incident about the three modes, you know, which relates to this is that one time when Indradyumna Maharaj travelled with her, Srila Prabhupada, right, to London. In the flight, he happened to travel together. So, where at the security gate, so Srila Prabhupada was always carrying some small white suitcase, right? And always Indradyumna Maharaj wanted to see what is inside it. He always had a very great curiosity, because nobody knew. It's like a secret magic thing, right? Always they are curious about, you know, because they want to see how a pure devotee does everything. Because everything he does is imbued with pure devotion. So they want to see what he collects, what he puts, how he arranges. Everything is very mysterious and Krishna conscious. So he always wanted to see. So one day, when he came to security gate, that security person, he looked at Prabhupada and said, "Open the box," very rudely. Open your case." Prabhupada was chanting, and immediately Maharaj stepped in and said, like this, pointing to him, he said, "One more time you talk like this to my spiritual master, I'm going to punch you on your face," he said like that. I shared this earlier, right? Anyway, yeah, so then he said, "Oh, okay, you open it then." Then anyway, he got a chance, he opened it, and then he was taking all the time to see all the pieces, and he was relishing that experience, and then finally closed it, said, "Okay, you may go now." So we are going. So while going, Prabhupada gave this instruction to Maharaj, said, you know, people are, you know, they're spirit souls. They're pure in nature, but just because of association more of material natures, they get bad qualities. Do you understand? Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I understand. Go further. Second time, he repeats the same thing in a different way, little, you know. People get this, behave wrongly because of their association with the modes, but actually, they are pure souls. Do you understand? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Then again, third time, he says same thing. Then when he said, "Do you understand?" he said, "Oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, now I understand." Then he understood, actually, when the spiritual master repeats something three times, it just goes inside. You get the realization, actually. Then he understood, actually, what we see is not what the... No, essentially, it's the behavior, but actually the soul is pure. It's just associating like this. So there is nothing to be worried about, or rather, you know, angry against anybody, actually. No, we don't need to be angry about anybody. If you are at that level...
Srila Prabhupada was pointing towards the security.
Exactly.
That's
yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's telling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's telling, don't, because he also acted right. Like He also said, I'm going to punch you. So he said, you know, this, he's helpless basically. He's associated with the modes of material energy. That's why he's behaving like this. You know, so you understand, you see, you, this is the truth. This is what you have to see, not the, just the behavior. Okay, now start thinking, this guy is bad. He talked like this to my spiritual master. Instead of thinking like that, you think, because he behaved like this because of association with the modes of material nature. That's what lesson he wanted to give.
Some of the movies, I think, asking if we are doing that way, how we cannot just go with the flow, right? So
we are responsible. So yeah, this knowledge should help us identify where we are at, you know, catch ourselves. Okay, I'm now taking the mode of ignorance. Like, you know, find out where we are, and at least minimally we should come to mode of goodness. And then we see at that time we can take some practical steps to elevate ourselves. Sometimes many devotees who are impelled by anger, they have always felt, if they immediately start chanting Hare Krishna, they felt it somehow cools down. Like, when you are angry, right, you have to do something immediately. Hare Krishna, just count, like chant the whole mantra like one time. Usually they count to 10, right? Instead of that, we chant Hare Krishna. Immediately you remember, oh, actually it's Krishna, I'm a devotee, I'm trying to be devotee, and what is this I'm doing, and at least little bit gap something. So we catch ourselves, we because we know we are going to get the very lower destination if we don't fix ourselves. So we always strive to come to the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means it's not just our action, actually it's a whole lifestyle. That's the whole thing, actually. That's what Prabhupada gave us. This is based on what the food we eat, based on whom we associate, what we hear, what we talk. All these things affect our moods. Constantly we are bombarded with moods. Whatever we are in touch with, it's influenced, it's contaminated by the moods. No, if we eat food, too much rajasic food, automatically, as I mentioned one example of Radhakrishna Prabhu, right? He said, you know, I'm eating this food and it's affecting my consciousness, you know, please, can improve the quality. So we can see that how much food is so influential in the, you know, affecting the consciousness. That food is there, and then, you know, what we hear immediately. If we go to some, generally we don't, at least, you know, after some time, after some years of Krishna consciousness, we stop hearing to film music, all those things. At home we try to play bhajans, all those. But once you go to Apna Bazaar and you see some movie playing and some film song playing, that's all, you sit here and keep watching. And when the moment you get out, you start thinking about, oh, I saw Aishwarya Rai movie that day earlier. You remember all those things, right? Immediately you'll go to that effect. It immediately affects you so much. So that's everything. Whatever we hear, whatever we see, it's constantly we are affected by these modes, actually. So we can be, in these cases, we can be consciously, we can make choices. You know, okay, when we know, for example, my favorite cricket game is being played and my friends are going to watch it live in their home. So is it really the time I have to enter into their home? Because I know I'm attracted to cricket watch and I'm going to sit there in the night and watch with them. So can I make a choice? You know, can I just somehow, you know, I know my, use intelligence and try to avoid the situation.
I almost stopped watching Madhuri, but still if it's going on, I do follow the game passionately. It's like, okay, I know what's going on, what they're going to do. It's, as I said, you know, that these are the kind of things, you know, you can't go to your spiritual master and say, okay, I feel like drinking beer today, what I can do? I feel like watching cricket today, what should I do, like that. You cannot talk like that either. So
yeah, for those things anyway, it's gradual higher taste. So that's why, you know, we don't stop those things. Our life is like that. You know, that's why I said initially, whatever modes we are situated with, we try to offer ourselves fully to Krishna. So we accept where we are and we understand all these things. And so on, so many ways we can improve our service to Krishna. At the same time, cultivate gradually higher taste. You know, gradually improve chanting, gradually, you know, whichever attracts you. You know, if you like to read Bhagavad Gita, you know, maybe read every day 1 hour or maybe every day 10 minutes like that. Gradually add something more. Whenever you feel guilty like that, it's good opportunity to increase your sadhana a little bit more, better. Mm-hmm. Instead of just staying there, like for example, certainly you are doing something, like, you know, maybe some number of rounds, a certain quality or some amount of reading you are doing. But whenever you feel, you know, oh, I did a mistake, you know, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have watched that cricket match I watched, you feel guilty, best way for you is improve positively instead of just going to ignorance and trying to feel guilty again. Do it, make it as a stepping stone towards Krishna better. So now I say, okay, I have to improve my sadhana because that's the only way. I have to improve my connection to Krishna. That's the only way it's going to help me. So, okay, let me do one extra round from now on. And if you are not doing 16 rounds, or if you want to do more than that. Or, okay, let me, I like hearing, so let me hear at least 10 minutes every day from now on. Something. If you do like that, then it's all now Yogamaya actually. It's not Mahamaya. It's only going to lead you closer to Krishna. Okay. So then, did we read the legs? Actually, it's not, So there's a section in the 7th chapter Prabhupada is talking about is the sequence where he says Daivesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam Evaya Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. He says this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome, but those who surrender unto me can easily overcome it. 7.14. So that's the point actually, the modes of material nature, when we discuss the point that we are helpless, it's saying this divine energy we cannot overcome on our own, but when we surrender to Krishna, it becomes like a water in the calf's hoofprint. Like calf is, you know, baby cow. Baby cow has a hoof, right? Hoof, if it steps, it creates a small space. And that amount of water, the whole material ocean, which is insurmountable, it cannot be crossed, will become like that small hoofprint, you know, that amount of water. So you can easily jump over it. That's mercy of Krishna, actually. You know? So the only key is surrender to Krishna. So that's what we are doing. We improve. Whenever we feel like that we are trapped more and more, we improve our surrender to Krishna. That's the way we can get rid of it. That's why, you know, this key, some other the important point Prabhupada is saying is, for one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. Wow, it's so powerful actually. What he is saying is, as you make advancement, you material nature will not pull you more and more further actually away. It's actually going to help you come closer to Krishna more and more. It becomes more and more Yogamaya. It's not, of course, it's going to try as much as possible to entrap you and, you know, take you away. But you have become so transcendental that it doesn't affect you anymore. Prabhupada said one time, actually, a very bold statement. He said, I can walk into a room of naked women without being disturbed. He said, that's his consciousness. You know, and that's his confidence actually, you know. That's what he's saying. So he's not, I'm so Krishna, of course, you know, he's not boasting, but he's saying, but if somebody is so Krishna conscious and so absorbed in Krishna, like Maya Devi comes to Haridas Thakur, right? What he made her into a devotee. So like that, you know, so the material nature will not disturb them anymore. So that's the gradual elevation Krishna consciousness we can achieve. Where right now where we are seeing that it's pulling in, we are helpless, we are not able to control. But if we advance, surrender more and more to Krishna, same material nature, you feel same situation, doesn't bother you anymore. Like for example now, right, coffee, without coffee also nothing happens. If coffee is in front of you also nothing happens. That's what we practically experience. Yeah, okay, text number 20. गुणानेतानतीत्यत्रीन् देहि देहासमुद्भवान् जन्म मृत्यु चरा दुःखैर्विमुक्तोऽमृतमश्नुते. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age and their distresses and can enjoy nectar even in this life. Okay, so here is saying is when we transcend the three modes, we can actually enjoy a liberated life while in this body also. It's not that we have to wait until we quit the body. So while we are in this body itself, we can enjoy liberated life. Means the same thing, where we are free from the modes. Nothing disturbs us. We are like kind of like floating. There is one incident, Yamuna Mataji's book I was reading that time, right? In that I was reading. So one time Mataji, when Prabhupada used to go to London, she used to take Prabhupada for morning walks. There are only few devotees, I think. So she used to go often. And that time only she and Prabhupada, like not many people were there. So one time there was heavy snow. Maybe I mentioned this earlier, all of you. No, there was heavy snow. And they were walking together. And after some time she was walking ahead and Prabhupada was walking behind. Then after some time she saw behind. And she saw that there were no... She can only see her steps, but they are not seeing. She is not seeing Prabhupada's steps. Then she is like, oh, he's walking behind me. How come I don't see the steps? So she asked him, actually. You know, oh, how come Prabhupada, you are like walking with me. How come I don't see your steps? Then he said, I don't know what, I don't remember exactly, this is the punch thing, right? Exactly what he said, but he said, you know, one day you'll understand. But and the conclusion he got is like, he's a Vaikuntha man, he felt. No, he is not really walking on the land actually. He's, because his pure devotees also have mystic powers. No, they can walk. Usually yogis, right? They don't walk on the ground. They float. They kind of float like that. So it's something kind of mysterious, mystic experience she had that time, you know, where she cannot see the steps actually. So he didn't tell exactly. Directly, he didn't, because he doesn't want to tell anything, right? So he didn't tell, oh, I have these powers, I can do like this. He didn't tell all that. But she concluded that, you know, he's not one of us, or we think he's like that. So she was telling. So that's why, you know, they raise above. Even while in this life, many people also commented, like, you know, they always commented, you know, your spiritual master is glowing like a sun. The refulgence, the purity, it comes out.
Is this even documented in Fuji?
Yes.
Book or something?
Yeah, it's in that book.
Never heard
yeah, it's in that book. Okay. Devina Mataji book. I have the hard copy, I have soft copy also. Yeah. I can point it out. Yeah.
You missed a very good point.
Yeah. Amit. Floating there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read this last few lines. In other words, devotion service in Krishna consciousness. Actually, this verse or the whole verse is paraphrasing verse from Nectar of Devotion. Or Nectar of Devotion, yeah. Iha yasya harir dase karmana manasagira nikilaswahi avastasu jivan muktausa uchate. He says that a person who performs devotional activities with body, mind and words, he is liberated even in this life. Jivan muktausa uchate. He is already liberated. Now, even though he does so many activities, he is already liberated. Okay, last few lines. In other words, devotional service.
In other words, devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the sign of liberation from material entanglement, and this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is freed from the influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service.
Okay, so if you observe carefully, the last line he says, when one is freed from the influence of modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. That means what we are doing is really not
devotional service.
Pure, actually he is meant to say pure devotional service. So pure devotional service actually begins when we are in Brahman realized or spiritual self realized. That's when basically, because then we will do really for Krishna. We don't do it anything for our body, our siblings or our family members, right? The bodily connection. We do it because from the spiritual platform to Krishna directly. So that's why, so what we are doing, as Mataji was pointing out, whatever modes we are associated with, we are trying to dovetail with Krishna service and doing that service. What we are doing is probate devotional service or trying to be pure devotional service, trying to come to that platform. But this is both means and the goal. Luckily, in the chanting is also both means and the goal. It's a means to achieve pure chanting. Devotional service is also is a means from the contaminated state to come to pure state. Same thing. So it's, we are very fortunate to do that. Otherwise, jnanis, right? We read about the difficulty they have. They cultivate impersonal jnana all through, and last minute they figure out actually they have to do devotional service. Then they have to face great difficulty forgetting the process, undoing what they did, all the processes of jnana, right? We felt like we read that in 12th chapter. So we don't have to do all that. Same thing we do in spiritual world. Right, Sangeeta Mataji keeps asking all the time, oh, what do we do in spiritual? Same thing, we glorify Krishna, we chant about Krishna's name, we talk about Krishna, same thing. But that time we do more purely, more for Krishna. Okay, text number 21 now, Arjuna is asking some questions, very important questions. Arjuna uvacha kailinga streen gunani tan atito bhavati prabho kimachara katam chaitam streen gunanati vartate. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the three modes of material nature? So everybody is curious. See, so he's asking, what are the symptoms? If somebody is transcendental, how do we detect who is that person? No.
We have similar
exactly. Second chapter.
Second.
Yeah, second chapter. He asked, right? How does a transcendentalist, Siddha Prajna, how does he walk? How does he talk? How does he sit? How does he stand? Yeah, Kabasha. So, yeah, there is a question about what questions he asked, right? Right? And answers. What are the answers?
I was not here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same thing. And he also is now, he's asking about his symptoms, he's asking about his behavior and what is the soul, how do we transcend the modes? Third question. So actually there is a little bit difference between symptoms and behavior. So the clarification is symptoms means what he perceives himself, what can be seen within himself, like, you know, I know myself internally sometimes, right? My reaction, usually it's not observable by others. So behavior is what is observable by others. Like, you know, when external stimulus comes, how do I behave? That can, people can be seen. But internally, my attitude, everything is the symptoms. Okay, that's one minor thing which I heard from my spiritual teacher. Okay, let's read this purport. Very nice.
In this verse, Arjuna's questions are very appropriate. He wants to know the symptoms of a person who has already transcended in the material most. He first inquires of the symptoms of such a transcendental person. How can one understand that he has already transcended the influence of the modes of material nature? The second question asks how he lives and what his activities are. Are they regulated or non-regulated? Then Arjuna inquires of the means by which he can attain the transcendental nature. That is very important. Unless one knows the direct means by which one can be situated always transcendentally, there is no possibility of showing the symptoms. So all these questions put by Arjuna are very important and the Lord answers them.
Okay, so let's see what Lord answers. Text number 22 to 25. So there are three verses in one shot. श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकाशं च प्रवृत्तिं च मोहं एव च पांडवा न द्वेष्टि संप्रावृत्तानि न वृत्तानि कांक्षति उदासीनवत् आसीनो गुणैर्यो न विचाल्यते गुणावर्तन्त इति एवं यो अवतिष्ठति तने गति समदुःख सुखसास्तास्ता समलोस्ताश्मकाञ्चन तुल्या प्रिया प्रियो धीरस्तुल्य निन्दात्म संस्तुति. Can somebody, oh, it's there, one more verse. Okay. मानापमानयोस्तुल्य स्तुल्यो मित्रारिपक्षयो सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी गुणातीता स उच्यते. So if somebody knows Sanskrit, they can guess actually what Krishna is talking. See, sama dukkha sukha, sama loshtashma kanchana, no, like pebble and the gold, tulya priya priyo, like, you know, who likes me, who don't like me, I'm like mana pamana, you know. So he's asking about equanimity actually, equilibrium. So let's read the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of material nature, modes of nature. So many qualities he is giving. Wow. Even one we can do. So we are not transcending it. So the actually first line until the semicolon is talking about symptoms, the first answer. Until, like, you know, long for them when they disappear. That is the first answer. And rest of it is behavior, second answer. And next verse talks about the third answer, third question, answer to the third question. Everybody got it? Until the first semicolon is the answer to the first question. Symptoms. After that is behavior, and next verse talks about the solution, how to transcend. Okay, so okay, I think okay, let's read the first. So Prabhupada also divides the purport, like first paragraph talks about symptoms, next paragraph talks about behavior. So let's read last few lines in the first paragraph. When one is conscious of this material body, he acts. Last few lines. First paragraph.
When one is conscious of material body, he he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body and does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will end, but the spirit soul... But in spirit soul, the self is aloof from activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, thus transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature.
So the point is, as long as anyway the body is going to act according to the modes, but if you identify with the body, then you try to enjoy through it. That's when, you know, you get entrapped. But if you don't want to enjoy through the body, then you are liberated. So you become aloof basically. You know, it doesn't matter what the body is demanding.
Mm-hmm.
You're just thinking about what Krishna wants. It's not about, okay, what my hunger is asking and what I have to sleep. But you think about, you know, what I need to do for Krishna. That's at that level, you know, very, very pure level. See, for example, we had that video, right? Prabhupada's last minute when he was about to pass. His body is in severe pain, but he is just focused on service to Krishna, translating service. So that's the transcendental situation he is in, like, you know, like that. So the point is here, how does he become aloof? Prabhupada is telling, he does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. This is the crux. So basically this is relating to the point Krishna tells earlier about attachment and aversion. So one has to transcend both, or raise above both attachment and aversion. Usually we are either attached or we are averse. We cannot be in the middle. That bhakti is always in the being in the middle. Otherwise, if we are too attached, we become karmis, we sense enjoyers. If we are too detached, we become jnanis. And both are hard-hearted. The both the process makes the heart very hard. Heart very hard. Okay? But bhakti, by staying in the middle, where we are neither enjoying nor trying to get out of it. So we just take whatever is there and try to offer to Krishna and just live like that. Whatever Krishna wants, just keep continuing like that. By doing that, our heart becomes very soft. And that's when it becomes soft like butter, where Krishna can steal it. Otherwise, in either options, it doesn't work. So that's the same thing. Krishna is saying that this devotee will not desire to enjoy through the body. So he doesn't have attachment to enjoy. And he is not desiring to get out of it. So he is not saying, you know, oh, this is disgusting, my body, you know, I have to go to stool so many times. Or it's like, you know, I hate the body and the connections and all the things I have to go through this body. You know, for example, some people have tough pregnancies, or some women have always pain during periods, all these things, right? So they may feel like, you know, I just better I get out of this body, you know. They may feel like that. But this devotee doesn't feel like that. You know, he feels just go. It's just like a machine, it's going on, but I am aloof of it. I just want to focus on Krishna. Rompad Maharaj also tells this point. He says that move your consciousness from asat to sat. That's what we need to do. All the time we are absorbed in asat, you know, material things, temporary things. Absorbed in what I have to eat, what I have to sleep, how I have to sleep, what I have to cook, whatever. If it's not really dovetailed in Krishna. But move that consciousness to Sat, Krishna. That's all we need to do. Just change, make the absorption Krishna. Then everything will become transcendental. Like that. No, or connect everything to Krishna, basically. Okay, so, okay, now next paragraph, he talks about symptoms, right? The behavior. So, how does he behave? Is that he accepts things that are favorable, like six lines down.
He accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or gold. He takes everyone as a dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness, and he does not hate his so-called enemy. He is equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with the material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he does not attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated.
So basically, he does only for Krishna. You know, whatever Krishna wants, whatever meant for service for Krishna, is ready to do. if it's not in Krishna's interest and somehow, you know, he doesn't have any personal agenda behind it. Such a case. Actually, yeah, I experienced that recently with Radhakrishna Prabhu, so I want to share that incident relating to this point. So this last year when he had to come, right, December, somehow, you know, temple, so many things happened, so many things changed. He was coming for past 10 years. Nothing happened. Every time he just come, we just book tickets, we don't have to take permission. Everything was nice. But somehow last time, you know, there were somebody, you know, management authority, they were telling that, you know, we are changing the, you know, programs in temple. So we were thinking, you know, devotees have to be more engaged in services. So maybe can you do it remotely? Like, you know, maybe do, you know, once a week have a remote session where people who are interested can connect and do, instead of coming for 3 weeks and everybody has to focus, then they cannot do services like that. Something appealed like that came. So, yeah, and then they were asking some of the feedback from all the people who are attending, you know, whether this is the right option or no. Then myself and my Prabhu shared our opinion, which is like, the main thing what we gain is the personal association, actually. So the moment it becomes remote, we lose everything. So we felt strongly, you know, it's not really going to be beneficial. And anyway, people who really want to do service, they can always do, or at least for the 3 weeks, they can give to somebody else for the meantime, so that they can be energized and become more pure by hearing katha and then come back to services and all these things. And who really want to spare the time, they can always do, you know. Anyway, so that's what we offered. And finally, anyway, during the time when this was happening, and Prabhu was also informed, this is what happening, management is offering this option, all those things. Prabhu knew it, and then somehow he happened to talk to us or something. Then he asked about, then I also told about background, you know, they asked us and this is what we told, all those things. Then he said, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Actually, they are asking me to come 1 week and rest of it do remotely. By the time I come, settle down, time jet lag, everything happens. It's 1 week is already over. It doesn't make sense. Maybe if they don't want me to come at all, that's okay. That's also good. You know, they can just tell like that instead of all these things. But yeah, so he was telling like that. No, either way, it's fine. I'm okay. Then I was telling, oh Prabhu, you are okay anyway, but we are the losers, you know, we will miss your association. We are mainly sustained by, you know, the classes and the incidents and the nourishment, everything. So we will lose very much. Then he told, actually when he was explaining, before I told this, when he was explaining, towards the end he concluded like this. He said, so this is what is happening. So maybe, you know, I may not be able to come. And then he was sharing his thoughts. He said, so am I attached? No, am I affected? Am I attached if I don't come? No, I'm not attached. So I'll think some other plan Krishna has, so I'll move on. You know, I'm not disturbed by it, he said very plainly. Then I said, Prabhu, actually you will never be disturbed. It's us, we will feel, and that's when I told, you know, we are the losers. We will lose it. We will lose the mercy. We will lose the opportunity. But then when I heard that from him, then I felt his consciousness is like that. There is nothing personal agenda he has. For meant for Krishna service, the opportunity is given that, you know, he has to serve certain people, he will do it. But if Krishna arranges that, you know, maybe he is not meant to do it, it's okay. He just goes with the flow. It's not like, you know, I did 10 years, now one more year I do, they will get Bhakti Vaibhav, I'll get the credit as teacher and I'll get so many certificates as my students. All these things, right? These are all subtle motives. But it's just between him and Krishna, it's like that, you know. Whatever Krishna wants, we'll do it. So, if we have that consciousness, we will always be very peaceful. You know, very peaceful and satisfied. You know, then otherwise, as the more we have our agenda, more we'll get into frustrations and things like that. Because it may not really align with what Krishna wants. But the more and more we align our desires to Krishna's desires, we'll have a smooth sailing. This is what I was sharing in the Bhagavatam class also, right? Initially, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I noticed this. This is what I heard in one class and it struck me. Then what I felt is that the more I was like a materialistic person, and when I was trying to enjoy, I was only meeting frustration. Whatever I tried to do, I want to go to movie, something happens there. Something, you know, I go with a high expectation, but actually it's a flop. You know, something happens which comes as a barrier to our happiness. Whatever expectation of enjoyment will not meet it. So always I met with frustration. But here the devotees are saying, whatever you desire for Krishna in Krishna's service, it's going to be fulfilled. Then I said, wow, this is a good deal. Why don't I change my desire to serve for Krishna, and all my desires will be fulfilled and I'll never be frustrated. It's a good option, right? Like, basically the main pain we are feeling is frustration because our desires are not fulfilled. But if I desire to serve Krishna, it's going to be fulfilled, so I'll be always be happy and satisfied. So I felt like, wow, it's a very good option, you know, I should try to change my desires to desire to serve Krishna. So that's what is the point here. If we align more and more towards Krishna's desires, then we will be more happy and peaceful.
Mataji, from Radha Krishna Prabhu's experience you shared, my question is that you are in devotional service and you can understand that he is not attached to his service and he is offering to Krishna that whatever is okay. But the people who are not in Krishna consciousness, they think that, oh, he is so selfish that even though we are affected, he's not feeling anything, he's just going away. He's thinking that that's okay if I don't come. You said that we are the losers, and
No, because in this case, he is not doing anything to do it, right? It's like, for example, he is forced in a situation where he is not given an option to render his service. So in that case, will he be, of course he will be concerned for us, and he will always wish welfare for us, but what can he do after a certain point? No, everything is not within your jurisdiction. Everything is not, if saying far, he will pray for us. But that doesn't take away his well-wishing mood towards us, right? That is still there. So that's the point. See, for example, okay, we were also probably project-based or something, we are moving out, right? So some of you expressed that, you know, you're not thinking about us. You know, we have been cultivated. You know, we have been coming only because of you. You know, now only we're picking up, chanting, everything. So you're thinking only about you. It's like that, you know, that thought comes. So then the what is the attitude of us? Our attitude is wherever we are going far, our mood is always well-wishing mood towards you or no. If that is there, that's good enough. Because of situation and circumstances, things have to change, right? So we accept Krishna's plan. Like, you know, whatever Krishna's plan for us, we have to follow according to, of course, we are not doing whimsically, according to the guidance of spiritual master and so many authorities' guidance, we are doing it. So in that case, what attitude we carry in the heart towards all of you? Is it like in a well-wishing mood? Or is it like, okay, I'm done with it, you know, let them go to hell, you know, it doesn't matter where, what they end up. It's like that. If that is the mood, then it's really, really selfish person. But if the mood is a kind, like very loving mood, and it's a mood like, you know, okay, what's a good way to transition, you know, how they can continue. If you think about all these things like that, then there's nothing harm. You know, then we are aligning towards Krishna's plan. At the same time, existing services, we are doing as much as possible to come to completion, things like that. And at the end, everybody will understand, Krishna conscious person will understand, we are all instruments. So, you know, if that person takes a credit like, oh, because of me only they are being nourished, oh, if I go they will die. If they think like that, at certain point he's thinking actually he's the doer, he is taking all the credit. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. He knows that I am just acting like instrument. As much as Krishna allows me to help them, I'm going to help them. And Krishna doesn't allow and he gets some other better person to help them, I'm willing to move out. That's a mood actually, right? See the point? It's not like, you know, oh, I am the one, I am like, you know, one-to-one. It's like husband-wife relationship, but at least for 50 years, you know, I am for him and he is for me. You know, without them, it's not like that, right? It's always flowing and fluid, and always somebody else will be there. And we also accept there's always person more advanced. We never think, you know, I am the topmost and I am the greatest, and for them, you know, I am it. If not, they are all have to be doomed. It's not like that. You know, we always appreciate, and for example, I regard Amritan Prabhu so much. I would like to actually sit one time when he wanted to do a session about Vedic cosmology. He did like 7-6 sessions actually. That time I wanted to personally go and sit and attend, because his knowledge about overview, big picture view of the chapters, you will see now, you know, next class onwards he is going to take it, so you will see the way he thinks about it. If he talks about 10th verse, he'll talk from 1st to 10th how it connects, which usually I cannot do. I can go deeper from this verse little bit as much as Krishna permits, but he can go up from there, from high level, what is Krishna wants, why he is coming to this verse, why he is telling this verse. That's a very, you would feel actually, you would read the whole again from first chapter with him. You will feel like that. So whatever we heard, you heard and learnt, you felt actually, no, I didn't do anything. So, yeah, so much I appreciate and admire his Krishna consciousness and his knowledge about scripture, Shaz. So I feel actually very much satisfied that you're in very good hands. Very good hands. So nothing to worry. So anyway, somehow it came to personal thing. Okay, let's continue and let's do this. Okay, now 26th verse, Krishna is talking about the solution. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So this is the key. So one has to engage in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances. Then he becomes transcendental. That means whatever way the modes act, he is never losing his service disposition towards Krishna. Like it's not like suddenly I feel very hot, so I'll not take bath. That incident Prabhupada says, right? Summertime, you know, mother doesn't cook because it's very hot and stove becomes more heat. So, okay, let me not cook for my child. It's not like that. Duty bound means you, whatever is the circumstance, you do your duty. And then cold, winter time is very cold, so I'll not take bath. It's not like that. So, irrespective of the modes and external situation, your service attitude towards Krishna is not disturbed. That means you are already transcendental. Right? That's this point proper is telling. Okay. Okay, so we can read the purport probably, you know. So, it's a very nice purport. Prabhupada elaborates on this point of how Bhakti Yoga will help. Yeah, and then most of the purport Prabhupada focuses on actually individuality. He says that even when we Brahman realized, it's not that we merge into Krishna. He says, you know, we are always individual. So that's a point we always repeated. Because unless there are two entities, there cannot be love. Right? If it's always one, how can you love? Right? Husband and wife has to be two different people, then there is love. If there is one person, how will you love? So like that, even after, so even coming to this, so some people interpret this verse to be merging into Brahman. So Prabhupada says it's not merging, there is individuality. So you can read this verse. Text number 27, it's last verse, we'll finish. Brahmano hi 27. We are continuing to the next verse. Brahmano hi pratishtaham amrutasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhyasya kantikasya cha. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable and eternal and is a constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So Krishna is saying actually, I am the source. Krishna is the source of Brahman also. So earlier verse he said, one becomes Brahman realized. And he is saying, actually I am the source of that Brahman also. So if you serve me directly, you have already realized Brahman. That's the point he is saying. So if you realize me as a Bhagavan, you have already realized Brahman. Okay, so that's what Prabhupada is going to focus on the purport of how first section, first paragraph, he talks about how by realizing Bhagavan, we realize Brahman and it's part of it. You know, that's the last purport, right? So let's read this last paragraph, you know, that's like kind of summary and very, very crucial purport. Last paragraph,
the living entity, although Brahman by nature, has the desire to lord it over the material world. And due to this, he falls down, in his constitutional position, a living entity is above the three modes of material nature. But association with material nature entangles him in the different modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Due to the association of these three modes, his desire to dominate the material world is there. By engagement in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed.
See, this is a point actually, very nice. By engagement in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. So basically the desires are removed. So you no longer try to exploit the material nature. You try to use everything in Krishna service. Yeah.
Therefore, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering the prescribed 9 methods of realizing devotional service, should be practiced in the association of devotees. Gradually, by such association, by influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed. and one becomes firmly situated in Lord's transcendental loving service. This method is prescribed from the 22nd to the last verse of this chapter. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, see the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees, chant always the transcendental vibration Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days, commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One who can thus situate himself in the Brahma, Jyotir, or the different varieties of Brahman conception is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in equality. This ends the Bhakti Vedanta purport to the 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of
So this last section Prabhupada is talking, the devotional service the Lord is very simple. That's what, you know, we are going to leave this exchange with. You know, he says that you just have to serve the Lord, eat food, prasadam, discuss his pastimes and attain the places where he performs his pastimes, and chant Hare Krishna, observe fasting days. And the list goes on. Appearance and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from material activities. So we just be situated in Krishna conscious process which Prabhupada has given us, and we will gradually become transcendental and come realize Brahman realized, and also probably realize Krishna sooner or later. That's in the sense the 14th chapter, Three Modes of Material Nature. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments? We are already running out, but
Mother, just in this 27 translation says which is immortal. So what is this? Brahman is immortal or what?
Yeah. And the basis of impersonal Brahman, which is we is talking about Brahman, right? Effulgence. That is also immortal, right? It's that's also eternal. Yeah. Imperishable and eternal. Yeah. So today only I was refreshing, then I was thinking maybe, you know, I'll complete the 26, then I was seeing, oh, it's only one verse. Then better, this is a good transition, right? I can finish this chapter, then Amrita and Prabhu can take it from next class. Okay, so we'll end here then. Allah Rishra.